tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 92. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking he hasn't gotten off to a very good start. He's basically just sat there and done the usual opening sentence. He said, it's Into Your Head, number something, and he joined me at a tremendously exciting moment. Although not necessarily in that order. But yeah, it, apart from that, he's done nothing. He's just stumbled and gone, maybe it's for comedic effect, just that. Maybe he thinks it's funny or something. Maybe, in fact, I've noticed this is a recent thing, the thing where he goes, he's only done that in the last 10 or 20 episodes or so. He never used to go, not in such an exaggerated way anyway. He used to just go, and you'd know that he wasn't doing that intentionally. It was just his natural way of stumbling. That he does a lot, because he's not a professional. He's only an amateur podcaster. He does this thing as a hobby. He comes on every weekend and he records these things sitting on his kitchen counter or wherever he is. And he has to make up as he go along, and he has to decide what's funny and what's not. And apparently he's decided it's funny to go, So that's what you're thinking there. Well, you're completely wrong about that. So in natural conversation, I go, all the time. And I have been exaggerating it more lately. And it's not just for the podcast. I do it in real life as well. When I go out in the street and someone says to me, do you know the way to Thomastown? I'll say, no. And then they'll say, thank you. Except they won't actually say, but I'll say, when I'm recounting the story to you and saying what they're saying. So that's why it sounds like I'm quoting them as saying, when in fact they didn't. So I'm just saying, before the quotation marks. So it's, open quotation marks, whatever they said to me, close quotation marks. It's not, open quotation marks, whatever they said to me, close quotation marks. Because they didn't say, to me. So I hope that's clear. Load of crap, and it's absolutely fantastic, because that's what we love about Into Your Head. He comes on for half an hour every week, or a couple of times a week sometimes, and he just talks crap, and it's absolutely fucking fantastic. Long may it continue, long may he reign, although obviously not in the traditional sense. I'm not in favour of monarchy, and if he's putting himself forward as to reign as a monarch over my country, then I'm not in favour of it. He can do whatever he wants in his own country, I don't care. He's in Ireland, so the chances are I'm not in Ireland, Steve, because I'm an average listener to Into Your Head, and the average listener to Into Your Head isn't in Ireland. The average listener to Into Your Head is in the United States of America. There's a few in England, but they're not the average listener. They're probably the average of the rest of the listeners, although I don't have backup for that. I haven't analysed the figures quite so mathematically as that. But I'm just guessing. The average listener, going by the download stats, the average listener to Into Your Head is in America, and the non-average listener isn't in America. The non-average listener is in somewhere else. They're in, somewhere other than America. I'm not going to name all 587 other countries in the world, just so I can say all the other countries that the non-average listener could be in. Besides which, there aren't 587 other listeners. There are only a couple of hundred, so there can't be one for every country in the world. Unless, of course, each of my listeners has lived in more than one country, was born in one country, emigrated to another country, and became a citizen, fully-fledged citizen of that country, in which case they count as two countries. So it could well be that I have representation from every country in the world. Ireland is covered anyway, because I live here, and I know at least one listener who's from Ireland. In fact, more than one. I know more than one listener to Into Your Head who's either from Ireland Ireland, or used to live in Ireland, or was born in Ireland, or is going to die in Ireland. So it's absolutely fantastic. There's definitely some in England, and I don't know that for certain, but I know from the stats that there are people who are claiming to be in England. Now, maybe they've changed their IP address to make it look like they're coming from England for some reason. You never know. Everyone likes to pretend they're from England nowadays. They're all proud of themselves because of the whole it's a financial thing, basically. Everyone who lives in France tries to pretend that they're from England because they don't want to be part of the euro, and England isn't part of the euro currency. They've got their pounds, they've got the great British pounds. They sit there on their arses and they spend their pounds, and they decided, I'm not going to be part of this euro thing, I'm going to keep spending these pounds until we run out of them, and then we might join the euro currency, we'll see, but not until we run out of pounds. And you don't need me to tell you that behind their back there they've got people in the cash factories making new cash, so it'll never run out of pounds because they're still manufacturing them. So basically they're cheating. They've conned us all. They're going to go, we'll join you up with your euro thing as soon as we run out of pounds, but they're never going to run out because they keep making them. So as far as I'm concerned, it's all a big fucking con. Tremendously exciting moments. Well, you don't. That's not true. It's just a saying. It's a catchphrase. It's been in use for several hundred years. That's not true. That's just a catchphrase. It's been in use for several hundred years. People always love to go around saying, that's a catchphrase. It's been in use for several hundred years. In fact, they've been saying that since biblical times. The Bible was first published in the late 1800s, because that's, of course, when they first had mass printing. They weren't able to publish the Bible until then. They only had to distribute a few copies to a vanity publishing company on the internet until then. But then someone invented the printing press, and they were able to pump out copies of the Bible by their thousands. And then religion really took off. Everyone decided, oh, I like this thing, I'm going to read this storybook, and it's going to be all these things about how to be good and how to live a decent life. Because I need guidelines. I need someone to tell me at least 10 things that I should and shouldn't be doing. I need them set out in stone, to be perfectly honest, because I can't work out this whole life morality thing on my own. I need someone to tell me, preferably a supreme being, or someone who's met the supreme being and has written a book about it. Or ideally four people who've met the supreme being, who can write four different testaments of it and stick them together in a book so that I can read them all and get an even and balanced reportage of everything, because that's the best way. That's the way they do on the BBC. They get four reporters to write their testaments, and they stick it all together, and you read them all, and you get a wide angle. You get the wide angle. You get everyone's perspective on it. You get one guy saying they nailed Jesus to the cross, and then they took him down, and 3 years later he came back to life. And then you get another guy saying they nailed Jesus to the cross, and they took him down, and 3 days later he came back to life. Although some people misinterpreted the word days in the old language as meaning years, but that's a language difference over the 2,000 years. And then you get a third guy writing his testimony, and he says, they nailed this guy to the cross, and he said he was Jesus, and he probably was, because he had Jesus Loves His Mummy tattooed on his arm, so we think he was Jesus. Anyway, he died, and 3 days later, he came out of a cave, and he said, I'm alive, I've been dead for 3 days, and I'm Jesus. Although he didn't have a tattoo, he'd had it removed at a tattoo removal studio next door to the to place the gambling casino where he was arrested and brought before crucifixion. And then you get a fourth guy saying this guy basically got drunk and he went to the casino and he decided he was God's son, and then he got arrested for something to do with the cheating at the casino tables, and he got crucified, and then his brother came along and said, "I'm Jesus, I was crucified, but I've come back to life." And it turned out it wasn't his brother at all, it was him. He'd gotten drunk and he'd fallen off the cross and he'd stumbled across to basically a cave, and he'd gone to sleep there in a nearby coffin. Why you need a coffin when you're being buried in a cave, I don't know. I thought coffins were for burying people under the ground, but apparently he decided he should go get into the coffin to look like he was really dead. It was just for effect. He likes it. It's a gimmick, really. It's like you have to have your little what do you call it when you're doing a magician ad act, and you have a little something to help you do an item. I forget what do you call items that you have for doing an act with. There's a word for it. Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, that's basically what it was. So anyway, then you have the four different versions of the Jesus story in the Bible, and you get to read them all, and you get to make an intelligent decision as to which or any you believe in. So that's all thanks to the printing press. It's one of the finest inventions ever created, and it's God's creations, really, because God, according to the Bible, everything is God's creations. So God invented the printing press. And then he let some guy in the printing press invention factory, he let that guy say that he invented it, even though he knew damn well that he'd invented it himself. But he's a modest fella, this God guy. He's decided, it's enough for me to go down in history as being the supreme being and creator of the universe. I don't need to be credited with inventing the printing press. I have enough people thanking me for everything as it is, so I'll let this other guy claim that he invented the printing press. So that's what happened. This other guy, coincidentally, his name was God too. He was actually a fan of God. He decided that, his parents initially were big fans of God. They liked the whole supreme being thing and decided to name their son after him, so they named him God. And when God was about 15, he said, "Why am I called God?" And they told him, they said, "You're named after God, the guy who invented the universe and stuff. And someday you'll grow up and you'll invent a printing press, and that'll be your universe. It'll be your pride and joy. It'll be your baby. You'll be sitting there one day in your printing press invention studio, and suddenly the penny will drop, the apple will fall on your head, and you'll say, 'I know how to make a printing press,' and then you'll make it. And if some guy comes along there then and says, 'I'm God, I actually created this for you and put it into your head, but you can pretend that you created it,' then just punch him, because it's not the real God, it's a different God, it's not the one we believe in, it's another guy, he's probably the Jewish God, whatever his name is, I can never remember. Anyway, punch him, don't allow him to get away with that crap. Stand up for yourself, God, remember the guy who you're named after, do what he'd do, do what God would do, God." So that's what God did. He did what God would do, and he forgave him. He forgave the guy who was claiming to be God and who was trying to claim credit for having created the printing press. But he didn't want to claim credit. He just wanted to tell the God guy in the printing press that he created it. But he wasn't going to actually steal the credit. He was going to let God pretend that he invented it. Well, in fact, in this case, he did actually invent it. It's all. It really didn't make any difference to the whole outcome, to be perfectly honest. La 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 la. We set up our aquarium. Da 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 da. And it took us ages, 'cause the fucker takes loads of water. Who'd have thunk it that the fishes wanted water? Anyway, we got all excited, bringing the cats in to see the little fishies, and they were swimming around like little fishies do, and they were cool, going bob 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 around in their water tank. And we got little plants, and they looked fucking deadly, and the fishies were swimming, and we were like, "Hey cats, look at fishies!" And then the cats were all, meh, whatever, and they didn't care. So we were like, "Well, fuck you, cats, you should
should go all go and I'll try to catch the fish. But that's not much of a song, but I'll start singing again. La 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 la. Then yet just today, 3 days after they arrived, the cats discovered the fish.
Stop laughing at me.
The cats discovered the fishies, and they spent an hour just sitting watching them and trying to climb into the tank for a swim. So we're happy now, we got the reaction we wanted, even though it took 3 days. Stupid fucking cats didn't notice for 3 days, but now they did, and they're sitting and meowing and watching the fishies doing their little fishy thing, swimming around and all, yeah, like fishies do. La 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 la, la 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 la. That was my cat fishy song.
Hello, Lockjaw the Podcast Junkie here, and you are listening to one of the funniest shows I've ever heard, Into Your Head, hosted by Neil O'Carroll and Joanne Farrell, all the way from Ireland.
Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, Tosh, latest installment of the Urination Session of the Week segment was very similar to the regular segment on the Euronews television channel, where they have a segment called No Comment, and they just show footage of stuff happening. They'll show people being arrested somewhere, or something happening, or some funeral going on, that sort of thing, and they'll just have the caption "No comment," and there'll be no commentary over it, no one talking, and that you're thinking that my Urination Session this week was very like that, and it was very well produced. You could hear the crystal crisp falling of the water onto the other water. And basically, you're thinking it should win an award, it should win a podcasting award. So well, off you go and nominate me somewhere. Go off to, I don't know, go on to Podcast Alley and vote for Into Your Head once a month or something. Or go into the iTunes store and post a comment saying, "This podcast is absolutely fucking fantastic. He urinates and talks, but not at the same time now. He does his he separates his talking from his urination, so we get a urination session with no commentary, and then we get commentary later. So it stretches out the material a little. It basically makes it twice as long as your average podcast. Because in your average podcast, they'll do the urination session, but they'll talk over that. They'll say all this stuff that I'm saying now, in your average podcast, they'll say that while they're urinating, and it'll only be half as long then. Unless, of course, you play it at slow speed. Like a lot of MP3 players have a slow speed setting where you can play it back at slow speed, and then it'll last a little longer. But it'll sound stupid. It'll sound like this. It'll sound like I'm talking very slowly. And God knows how the urination will sound when you play it back slowly. It'll probably confuse you. It'll cause confusion in your brain. It'll be like waking up from a particularly surreal dream, and everything is still going very slowly. And you'll get very confused. It'll be like if you take a sleeping tablet and then you get up and you go off about your business, and everything looks very weird, and cats look like they're coming out of the sky, and all sorts of crap like that. And that's not what you want when you listen to a podcast for entertainment. Tremendously exciting moment. I'm almost finished recording episode 92 of Into Your Head. That's my podcast I put on the internet at intoyourhead.com that you can listen to. You're probably listening to it now. Well, not now as I record this. And now, as you listen to this, you're probably listening to this, which is absolutely fantastic. That means you're a listener. You're one of my listeners. That's not to say that I'm claiming to own you, but I feel a sense of you belonging to me-ness when you listen to my show. It's not like I'm not saying that I feel that you're my property or my slave. I just feel that I own you, that's all. It's nothing to feel bad about. You should feel quite privileged. You're one of my listeners. I have quite a few of them now. I have a couple of hundred, I'm led to believe. So you're one in 200 to 300, so you're quite privileged. Normally, as you go about your everyday lives, you're 1 in 1 million, or 1 in 8 million, or 1 in some very large, ridiculously large group. In fact, if you go out into an open field at night where you can see the stars under you, you're probably 1 in 800,000 billion. If you include yourself in the group of everybody who lives in the visible universe. And even if you don't believe in aliens, then you're at best 1 in 6.5 billion, which you have to admit is quite a big group to be in. You might as well be a piece of frog spawn floating in the sea. That's not to say that you're going to grow up to be a frog if you live in a place that's got a high population. It's just that you might as well be a little blobule of sand on a beach. Or in a desert, if you're going to be hanging around in large populations like that, no one's going to notice you. But if you're one of the listeners to Into Your Head, you're 1 in only 200 or 300, so you're going to stand out, and you can go on and make yourself heard by going to intoyourhead.com/stalk and posting an online voicemail or posting a message in the guest book, and people will hear you because you're only 1 in only a couple of 100. And people will say, oh, there's him, there's that guy. I thought he was just a piece of sand in the desert, but he turns out he's a listener to Into Your Head, and we can see what he has to say for himself. He's saying he's posting some message about cats or something. He's commenting on something he heard in a recent show. He's recording it. He's plugged his microphone into his computer, and he's recorded a message online there at the website, and for good measure he's gone and typed something in the guest book as well at intoyourhead.com/stalk, because that's what proper listeners to podcasts do. They interact, they post messages and comments, and they make themselves heard, and they participate, and sometimes the more creative among them even record little segments of 5 or 6 minutes and email them to studio@intoyourhead.com if they're in the mood. But that's not to say that I've any expectations of the listeners here. I'm just saying that's what some people do in podcasts. Some people, when they listen to podcasts, they post comments and participate and leave voicemails and do all that sort of thing. But don't worry, I've no expectations of you. I don't expect any of you to go to that trouble. I'm quite happy to sit here and have no communication whatsoever from the listener. I don't do this for the thanks. I do it for the money. Someday someone's going to pay me lots of money for all of this stuff that I do here, all of this work that I spend my entire weekend putting into this podcast. But for now, I'm quite happy to do it for free, and I'm quite happy to have no thanks from the listener, and I'm quite happy to have no one commenting ever in the guest book except Manny and AC, and whoever else turns up once a year. I don't need any participation. I don't even need to know that there's anyone listening. I'm quite happy to post this up on the internet at my own expense and live under the illusion that there are no listeners whatsoever, because I only do this for me. I do this so I can listen back to it on the bus when I go on my little short journeys. Tomorrow I'm going on a bus journey that's going to last approximately 24 minutes, and that's why this segment has gone on 2 minutes longer than I'd planned. But you don't need to worry about that. It's nothing to concern yourself with. It's only my life that we're talking about here. It's only my life and happiness and well-being and my self-esteem and my sense of pride and my sense of being more than just a speck of dust in the desert on the back of a pimple on the face of a piece of sand in the beach on the side of a lake on an atom that's actually like a small planet, but it's actually a tiny little atom in a piece of sand in the desert. So there you go. There's nothing like feeling small.